Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I have with me here Sharon Hoffman. And when I picked up your book, I just beamed because the title of it was A Car Seat in My Convertible.
Yes. And don't you just love that visual?
I do. I love the visual. I love the car that, you know, you had on your book. And I also have other grandmas that actually do have car seats in their convertible.
In their convertible, just like I do, yes.
Now, tell me a little bit about how you began your ministry, so to speak, to women and now to grandmothers.
Yes. Well, of course, when I found out I was going to be a grandmother, I mean, as you know, that changes your life.
It does.
And grandmoms all understand that the world over. So as I was crisscrossing the country speaking to women at conferences and retreats and churches and so forth, I kept noticing that at the book table, one of the funnest conversations I was having with everyone was showing their pictures of their grandchildren. Of course. So we began, you know, God just put a burden in my heart as I would talk to them, because each woman had their own story. Some were not that excited about becoming a grandmother because their situation perhaps was a sad one, or maybe their son or daughter had gone through a divorce and this was not the most joyful news mm-hmm. that they were hearing. But for the vast majority, we just had a kindred spirit in this grandmother club. Yes.
So as a grandmother, what would be some of the things that of words of advice that you would give to grandmothers to be?
Okay. It's so sweet how God does that. Because when I found out, you know, after my son-in-law and daughter called me and said, guess what? And the minute you get that news, mm-hmm. you know, you start thinking pink. You start thinking blue. Every store you go in, you start kind of navigating to the children's section, you know. But as I became a new grandmother, I was a long-distance grandmother for a long time, and I remember getting on the plane, and this little darling Ellie, who was not even yet 1 year old, was just almost leaping out of her mama, my daughter Mindy's, arms, wanting to come with me, and I kept telling her bye, and I kept, you know, fighting back the tears. And even the security lady in the line in the airport said, I couldn't watch you all any longer because we were all in tears, you know. I get on that plane, and I had left in her little arms a blanket that I had kind of made. But, you know, it's one of those you just tie the ends. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my idea of making a blanket. And it was as though God gave me the word blanket. And I thought, oh, God, I just wish, like that blanket, I wish I could stay with her and wrap my love around her and my arms around her. So I wrote the word blanket, and it's the very first thing in this book, the B-L-A-N-K-E-T. And with that, I just kind of wrote down words that God gave me. The B standing for bathe your grandchild in prayer. The L, love, live, and love, live and laugh. The A, accept your grandchild. N, never give up on them. K, keep expressing your assurances of love. E, establish your own style of grandmothering. And T, take time to establish a spiritual heritage. All of a sudden on that napkin that was wet with my tears, not with my hot tea, but with my tears that day, you know. It was as though God said, you can blanket that child. You can blanket her if you let me do it, mm-hmm. if you let me take care of her and love on her. And so that's kind of where the book was birthed that day, in the word blanket. Isn't that sweet?
That is. I know the subtitle is Giving Your Grandkids the Spiritual Ride of Their Lives. Mm. And how fantastic.
It has really changed my life, becoming a grandmother. My life verses now are found in Psalm 78:4-6, where it says, "We will not hide from our children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done." That, and here's the key part, that the generations to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare to their children. I mean, can there be any better purpose in life?
That's right.
Than to pass on what he says there in the word, pass on for the generations to follow us, the legacy of faith that we have. He says, tell them my stories. Tell them what I mean to you. There's no greater joy than me now getting in my convertible, looking up in the rear view mirror and seeing two little people in the back seat. You know, Ellie and Anna, just a couple of weeks ago, were sitting in the back there, and they're 7 and 8. And they were just at the top of their lungs singing what was on the radio at the minute. You know, our God is higher, our God is greater. And I'm watching them in the room. They, because it's convertible, they had no clue that, you know, anyone could hear them. And they could probably not even hear each other, hardly, in the back seat. But we were stopped at a stoplight, and I'm just watching them in the back seat thinking, I just hope this is ministering to the cars all around us, you know. And they're doing the motions higher, and their little hands are going higher. And I thought, oh, God, I want to savor that moment.
That's right.
I want them always to believe that their God is higher, mm-hmm. their God is greater, their God can take care of their whatever it is in their life. And that's my mission in life right now, to pass on and to encourage other grandmoms to pass on our spiritual faith. Because often if we don't, nobody else is going to.
That is so true. Grandparenting is vital to a young child's spiritual growth. Well, we're going to have to take a break here, but we'll be right back.
Over 1.5 million Americans are diagnosed with cancer every year. What these people need most is hope for their journey. The body of Christ can provide real hope.
Our journey of hope is an amazing opportunity for believers to stand in the gap of one of the greatest needs in our nation. There are open doors for the goodness, the grace, and the gospel of Jesus Christ to work in the lives of millions of Americans.
Sybil was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Despite great challenges, she and her husband placed their hope in God.
Cancer patients have to work against unbelievable odds for the possibility of survival. And at the end of that is predicated upon the ability to be hopeful and to believe in a higher power, something that extends beyond you. And in this particular case, we're talking about the faith and the hope in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Sybil and her husband are not alone on their journey. Their church family has come alongside to support them every step of the way.
It's part of being part of the body of Christ, where when one part suffers, we all suffer. And I want to tell you, we've learned to love more and care more because of the difficulty you guys have had. And since seeing you guys, I have a whole new outlook, and I have a whole lot of new advice for anyone with cancer in our church.
They need someone to stand with them and to hold their hand, to wipe the sweat from their forehead, to dry the tears from their eyes, and say that tomorrow potentially can be a better day.
When you have people that support you and lift you up, like here, your family in the body of Christ, it helps you get through that. It helps you to fight that battle. And I don't know how people get through it without it.
Our journey of hope is the ministry of love, hope, and encouragement. We provide pastors and ministry leaders with the tools, training, and support to create effective cancer care ministries in their churches and communities.
You have an opportunity to minister to the world in a way that maybe you've never done so, that will allow your ministry to expand its reach and its growth in your local communities.
The first step in launching a cancer care ministry is to attend a cancer care leadership training held throughout the year. During this two-day workshop, you will receive the training and the resources needed to start a cancer care ministry in your church. Using our biblically-based cancer care ministry curriculum, you will be able to equip and empower members of your congregation to meet the spiritual and practical needs of those dealing with cancer. Once training is complete, your team of cancer care ministers will bring hope to those who are hurting.
Greater love has no man than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. You'll know you're his disciples because of your love for one another. And I think that's what signifies the body of Christ and what the church ought to be.
Visit ourjourneyofhope.com to learn more about starting a cancer care ministry in your church.
Welcome back. You're listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, as I look back in the history of your ministry, mm-hmm. at one point it was really to build a woman's sense of who she was mm-hmm. and what she could bring to the table,
yes.
so to speak.
And for our own center where our families actually live. Because my background, as you now have read, did not include a lot of security. Even though my daddy was a young pastor when I was born, fresh out of seminary and just so excited, you know, to set the world on fire. And my sister Suzanne was born. Then 2 years later, I was born. Here, this little mama and daddy had it all, had their new church started. In those days, they started in storefront buildings,
yes,
you know.
Like they're starting to do again.
Exactly. It all comes back around, doesn't it? And then my mama got sick. Mm-hmm. In the 50s, a very severe illness was TB. And she was so sick, she had to go away for a while to a sanatorium. That was a long time to a little
yes.
girl under 5 years old, only to see her mama very intermittent mm-hmm. sequences, and to go on Sunday afternoon and see her put a flannel graph board up in the hospital lobby where I and my sister and anyone else who wanted to watch the stories could do so. So after 9 months of being put here, there, with church people, with different relatives that could help out for short times, finally our mother came home.
Oh.
She was well. And only 3 short months later, she woke up with a very severe headache. And in 24 hours, she was gone.
Oh.
This time, she was gone to heaven. She wasn't just gone to the hospital. She had gotten polio, the second killer oh. of the 50s, and no one had even known. The autopsy showed mm. that. So I began to lean very heavily, as you can imagine, on my grandmother. I only had one who could help out at the time. The other was too ill. And during those months, even following our mother's death, that was a very, very, probably one of the only secure places that I found was in my grandmother's arms and in her home on the farm. So I've made it my mission. Grandmoms, no matter what it is that God is laying on your heart, it may be rocking that baby today, babysitting, while that baby's mama, your son or your daughter, goes. Or it may be helping with homeschooling. It may be today just tucking a little one in and saying how much you love them. It is not unnoticed.
That's right.
And it is not for nothing, because even in their adult life, they will remember the security, the love of, in fact, James Dobson says the next best place from a mother's arms are on a grandmother's
yes.
lap, you know, the most secure place.
Right.
And I love that, because I believe that with all my heart, that many homes today don't have a spiritual influence in the home unless a grandmother brings it.
Yes. And you know, grandmothers aren't like, how they use, they're not the stereotype. They're still balancing careers and and projects and
running to the gym, driving their convertible. Yes. They have very active lives.
I have a grandmother that I'm thinking of right now who she works for a charity and her, and she has these two grandkids, 6 and 7, that, you know, she feels in some respects have been pushed upon her. And I just, you know, I said, you have to take this as a blessing. Not only has not only has God given you them, but now it's time to play. So talk to me about play.
Playing. My favorite, my spiritual gift is playing. Yes. Those times that we play with our grandchildren, get down at their eye level, or take a teenage granddaughter to a place to have a pedicure or a manicure. Those are invaluable play times. In fact, I even have 29 tips for grandmothers how to play with your grandchildren in the book.
And you know, a lot of them do not know how to play.
I know it. It get down even color.
Yeah.
Find out how much fun it is once again to color or to crawl through that little play tunnel, or as I have done at the fast food place, actually crawl up there and get them out, you know.
So you have to go to the gym and stay in shape to keep up with them.
Yes, to even fit through there. Or go out at night, as I did with our little Jake when he was 4 years old, and go out at night, look at the stars, incorporate in there. God made each star. He knows them by name. And I remember Jake looked up the moon, which he's used to good night moon. The moon is round. It was a crescent moon that night. And he goes, Nana, moon is broken. And what an opportunity to say. The first thing that came out of my mouth was, I know, and God will fix it. You know, God will fix it. But I heard then a few days later when his truck broke, I heard him say, God can fix it. So he sees those playing moments to incorporate in there. God is here. He loves you. He not only hung every star in space, but oh, sweet Jake, he made you too. He knows your name. He loves you. And for a little boy whose parents are daughter and son-in-law who've gone through a recent divorce, that's important to that child.
It is so important.
That is important for him to hear his Nana say, God can fix not only the moon, but whatever we have in our heart.
Amen.
God can fix anything.
Amen. And I think, as I read your book, I think a great message to grandparents, both grandpa and grandma, is very important. But the idea that sometimes we get so busy serving God that we forget to have that personal relationship with God. The same thing can happen when we're so busy taking care of our kids.
Yes.
So we take care of them, but we don't build a relationship and play.
Yes.
It serves as that perfect bridge.
Just get a slot of time where even I'm finding one-on-one is really, one-on-one time is so important with that grandchild. And grandmoms, I want to encourage you, even during the school year, the busy school year, stop by, pick them up one-on-one, call it your special day, call it whatever you want to, but take the time to play. Go to the park. Remember how fun it is to swing. And the other day I was swinging in the park with our granddaughters, and I was going, look how high I can go. And of course they were trying to keep up with me, you know, and then I slowed myself down just a little bit so they'd go higher, of course. But I actually just leaned so far back and thought, thank you, God, for reminding me today how fun it is to play.
Yeah.
To just kick my head back and laugh and have fun and play. And even if you can't run or swing as fast as they can, find what works for you. Sit down and play princess dominoes like we did the other day after we were in the park. It was so fun to play domino and let them make up the rules. Just play and have fun. Stop and drive through the McDonald's for an ice cream and just lick it to your heart's content, you know.
It's okay.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And just, I think God gives us these little ones to remind us of that. And if, as in my situation, being married to a pastor for 40 years, I do have to carve out time for these grandchildren.
Yes.
It doesn't always happen naturally because we're busy.
That's right.
Every grandmom is so busy today. But as we know, and their mamas don't know this, but we do, in the blink of an eye, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Those times are gone, aren't they?
They are.
They're so quick. If I could just give, you know, anything for one day when my two daughters were young again, just one day. I don't think I could handle it all over again, but just one day, you know. And I'm getting to do that through my grandchildren.
Yes. Now, you've written some other books. Challenging Women to Change Their World is a... I think that sometimes the problems we have with letting loose and being good grandparents stem from the messages we've had from the time where we were young.
Yes.
And so how do we take that and reparent ourselves, so to speak?
That's a good term. We do have to reparent ourselves in ways that we weren't parented. There's no perfect family. I think everybody's family. This lady told me the other day at the book table, she said, "Oh, but you know, I don't even know how to be a good grandmother because our family was so dysfunctional." I said, everybody's family has been dysfunctional, so you're normal, you know.
Yeah.
And
have courage.
Yes, exactly. Take hope in that, you know. And even me, being what I felt, orphaned almost.
That's
as
right.
A child. You know, under 5 years.
Tremendous issues.
Mm-hmm. So I have battled security all my life. And now that our family has gone through the trauma that a lot of families, especially Christian families, think, well, ours won't go through it.
Yeah.
Divorce has touched our family, mm-hmm. personally even. So reparenting our hearts and our minds stems only from letting God parent us first. He's the only perfect father. And the more I let him love on me, the more I know how to love on my family members. It just goes hand in hand.
And you know, he created us for his joy. So it stands to reason,
yes.
that our relationship should be based on joy.
Yes.
Play.
And play with him, and let him love on us. Because I am convinced if we don't let him love us well, then we are not able to love others well.
That's
even
right.
In my book, I got advice from 100 grandmom friends who have gone through biggies that I've never gone through. I have 6 grandchildren, but they've gone through death of a grandchild times when their son or daughter will not let them see their grandchildren. And all for you grandmoms out there, go to my website.
Was going to ask you. I don't see your website.
It's www.sharonhoffman.com. And you will see all about impacting your world for eternity.
And that's Sharon, SharonHoffman.
Yes, perfect.
SharonHoffman.com.
Yes. And you'll read all about what I'm doing and where I'm going to be speaking and other books other than even a car seat in my convertible. But, oh, you grandmoms, you go out there, you get the book and then show it to your husband. He's going to love the car on the front cover.
Yes, he will love the car.
Men always ask me, now, is that your car? You know, is that your antique car? No, it's not, but I love the cover. New Hope did a wonderful job.
They did. Well, we are coming to the end of our show, and we thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Thank you, Rose.
And we'll keep in touch.
Yes, do. And God bless you for what you all are doing. And grandmoms, parents out there today, I just want to say God loves you, and he wants to love on you so you can love those grandchildren.
Yes, thank you, and God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. We would also like to thank our production staff and the various networks for making this broadcast possible. For more information, go to myhomeschoolcompanion.com. That's myhomeschoolcompanion.com.